Welcome to the Frontline Herbalism Podcast with your host Nicole Rose from the Solidarity Apothecary. This is your place for all things plants and liberation. Let's get started. Hello, welcome back to the Frontline Herbalism Podcast. So it is the last week that the Herbalism, PTSD and Traumatic Stress course is open. So I'm going to be releasing a kind of short episode every day this week from something I created earlier in the summer called Soothing Survival. So this was like a kind of email series, like a 5-part email series that people could sign up for. And you still can if you want to get like a kind of written overview of what I'm sharing this week, all about like the different nervous system states in the body. And yeah, it was kind of, you know, introducing that nervous system state and then looking at a kind of one herb for each state, basically. And today I'm going to be kind of reading through what I wrote in those emails, but sharing it in a bit of a kind of deeper, richer way and talking a little bit more about the plant that was mentioned. So if you've signed up for Soothing Survival, I think you'll still find this helpful. And I know sometimes like listening to things, it goes in better than reading. And if you haven't signed up for Soothing Survival, you're still like super welcome to join it. And then, you know, you'll get a nice kind of like bullet pointed overview of what I'm like talking about on this episode. So, but before I dive into the first state that I talk about, I just want to kind of give like a gentle introduction and maybe some disclaimers. And that, yeah, like basically our nervous systems are like fucking incredible and they have evolved over thousands of years to kind of keep us alive. And this concept of like survival, like it isn't fucking abstract, right? Like it is a daily reality for so many people to be on the edge of survival, you know, whether that's like the unspeakable horrors being experienced in Sudan or Palestine or like, you know, loads of other countries in terms of, you know, what people are experiencing in prison and other environments and people on the move. And, you know, like survival isn't like just like a kind of nervous system state that we have to like unlearn, if that makes sense. Like even people who feel very like resourced in the world and have a lot of, you know, economic privilege, for example, are still often living with a nervous system where they're feeling that kind of capitalist scarcity of like not enough and fear of losing it. And, you know, just kind of, yeah, how do we keep afloat in this world? So yeah, I just want to say that like our nervous system states are like very protective and I don't want to pathologize them. Like the sort of, you know, fight or flight response, for example, isn't a fucking bad thing. Like it's a life-saving thing. But I think some of the challenges come in when these nervous system states get sort of stuck. So instead of serving us, you know, they can kind of begin to take away our joy, like a sense of safety or just like a capacity to feel alive because we're being sort of dominated by that stress response. And yeah, in this series, I'm going to be, you know, talking about these different states, but like they're not fucking binary and it's not as simple as fight or flight is bad and rest and digest is good, which is, you know, the parasympathetic nervous system. Like we don't want to be in a parasympathetic state like all day, every day. Like we would get fucking nothing done. Like we wouldn't also feel that aliveness that can come with being sort of like activated. And you'll sort of learn like there are nervous system states that aren't, that involve the sympathetic nervous system, that involve this kind of activation, but aren't necessarily like quote unquote bad. Like, you know, like the play state, for example, or sexual intimacy often involves like a mix of like activation and kind of, you know, like adrenaline and a sympathetic nervous system response, as well as like a lot of pleasure, hopefully. Okay, so yeah, so I just want to emphasize like they're not a binary and that we also don't, like we can experience like many sort of states at once. But I think the sort of state that is the one that is enabling of us to live a full, amazing life is this sort of safe and social state where we are able to feel like connected to other people and non-humans as well, and where kind of like care and like intimacy and kinship like feel possible. Because when we are in a, like an activated state, that stuff just goes out the window, right? Like, we don't trust humans, we're full of fear. And so, yeah, like, I think I don't want to feel like quote unquote calm, but I want to feel able to connect with other people and also be like a kind of air quotes, like safe person for other people. Like, I want people to interact with me and feel warmth and calm and safety and not be, you know, not feel threatened by me. So, yeah. And I think, like, in this kind of work, like, one of the most helpful phrases that I've ever come across around, like, polyvagal theory or, like, nervous system state stuff is, like, story follows state. So if you were in a fight or flight kind of activated sympathetic nervous system state, the world will feel threatening, no matter what's going on for you. Like, the world might be genuinely threatening, you know, you might be like fearing that your apartment building is going to get fucking bombed by fucking, you know, Israel, in which case, like, it makes complete sense to be in that nervous system state. But for someone who isn't in that kind of life or death situation, but still feels activated like that, like, you will perceive the world as threatening. Like, you will see other drivers as taking the piss out of you and threatening you. You will think, oh, that person looked at me wrong. You know, like, maybe you'll be kind of getting into conflict because you perceive the world as threatening. Whereas when you're in a more like safe and social state, you will perceive it as, yeah, like, safer. I remember coming out of a EDMR and trauma releasing exercise session where you like induce shaking in the body, which was like extremely life-changing for me during like a very intense period of like prison related PTSD. And yeah, I remember needing to go to the shop after this session and just fucking smiling at the person at the checkout. And I was like, wow, this is nice. Like, this is actually how people feel when they feel in safe and social, like that, you know, the world isn't a threat, like, not everyone is out to get you. And yeah, so anyway, I think this story follow state premise is really, really, yeah, is really valuable to kind of hold through these episodes. But yeah, it is this intimacy of noticing these states and how to work with them that can change like everything. So for me, for example, when I know that I'm activated, I can, for example, text with a partner and be like, I don't want to talk about this right now because I feel really activated. Like, can we come back to it? And I will have that insight now to go and self-soothe, you know, to go in the garden, to play with my baby or whatever, to then be in a better place to have, you know, a potentially more like difficult emotional conversation. Whereas I feel like when you don't have that intimacy of what's going on for you, you're kind of, you're like a wildfire rather than a blowtorch. And I remember a therapist saying to me, like, we have to make you a blowtorch, like, not someone that is like fucking angry at everyone and everything, but someone who can like use that anger and that fire with like skill and focus. Okay, so yeah. So anyway, just, yeah, before we dive in, I just want to kind of ask some questions of like, which of these states, as you listen to the episodes, feel most familiar to you? And yeah, what for you helps you move into this like safe and social state. So anyway, I'm going to dive into the first one. And just shameless plug, the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course closes on the 13th of October, 2025, if you're listening to this in the future. So please, please check it out and don't miss it. It's no one turned away for lack of funds. So yeah, please kind of access that resource if you need it. All right, let's get stuck in. All right, so the first nervous system state that we're diving into is the flight response. And, you know, like I emphasized in the introduction, all of these different nervous system states serve different functions and they aren't a binary. They're not like good or bad. And, you know, the flight response is fucking brilliant when you need to escape danger and you need to flee to kind of seek safety. And as I mentioned in the introduction, there are like shitloads of examples of real world trauma where that is really, 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 really fucking helpful. But when it gets stuck and starts to kind of affect our lives, like when it doesn't need to be kind of activated, if that makes sense, that's when we have challenges. So a kind of stuck flight response can look like anxiety and worry and nervousness, apprehension, feelings of dread, panic is a really big one. You know, like avoidance. So yeah, I'll talk about that more in a minute. Procrastination and just like a big sensation of pressure. And so like when we're in the state, the world can feel very like overwhelming and unsafe and very stressful. And, you know, like the kind of like embodied habits that we might notice in ourselves in this kind of stuck nervous system state are like fidgeting and a kind of constant feeling of like restlessness, the kind of impulse to leave situations when they feel too much. Maybe there is behavior around like avoiding conflict to like protect emotional resources. Like you just can't cope, so you're just gonna turn off that difficult thing, if that makes sense. Bursting into tears is a very common kind of flight response in my experience, especially when things feel really overwhelming and when that kind of like, yeah, sense of overwhelm has kind of hit its limit. We might see kind of like catastrophic or like worst case scenario thinking. And yeah, like in any kind of fight flight state, we might sort of read or like perceive neutral expressions in someone else as threatening. So yeah, you know, if this sounds familiar, like you're really not alone. Like I think the flight response is probably like the most common response. And I think there's a real gender dynamic to it as well, of people kind of socialized as female are often more in this response. And, you know, it is, like I said, it's a way of keeping yourself safe. But when it lingers, it can be really, really exhausting. So just to build on that a little bit, like I think, yeah, like anxiety is such an interesting thing that lots of people have come to me in the past seeking herbal support around, because, you know, it's something that really affects your life. Like it really limits what you want to do in the world. It can limit your access to like social support. You know, like when we're in these states, we're not in this like safe and social state where we feel able to socialize, to connect, to trust other people, to feel joy. And I think anxiety is an interesting mix because, you know, for example, having financial anxiety might mean that, you know, you take some action, you know, you apply for a credit card, you try and get a new job, you know, you do something or whatever to get money. And that is going to keep you safe in the sense of getting money for food or heating or whatever. And so there is like a function to anxiety, if that makes sense. But say, for example, you actually do have your basic needs met, it might become like unnecessary to be like, put like, you know, kind of aggressively ruminating about something, for example. You know, like, and I think social anxiety is very interesting as well in terms of that like background activation and like background buildup. I think the flight response like can unfortunately lead to other responses like freeze, which I'll talk about in another episode. But yeah, basically we are trying to protect like a very overwhelmed system, and the flight is like our first approach to safety. It's like fleeing in danger, you know, like it's the guy in the scream mask coming at you and you running away. You know, that makes much more sense than trying to like fight off this guy. Sorry, that's a really weird example. I think it's because Halloween is coming up. Anyway, okay, so yeah, how the fuck do we shift out of the flight response? So, you know, that is like a whole other field of, you know, work and study and learning about the body and all the things, and different things will work for everyone. But, you know, it might look like breathing exercises, you know, with longer kind of exhales. It might look like shaking, like trauma releasing exercises are fucking incredible at inducing this kind of natural shaking in the body. It might look like walking or running, or, you know, or like moving in any way your body allows. I'm aware that not everyone can walk or run. I remember this is, I'm just ad-libbing here, but like way back in the day, there was this kind of constellation called Reclaim the Fields, and maybe it's still going on, but at least in the so-called UK, like there was like quite a, you know, a big crew and like different things happening under this banner. It was like a constellation of kind of like anti-capitalist food growers and people that cared about access to land and things. And like there was this amazing squatted farm in the Forest of Dean that was like under threat of eviction, and everyone was on such high alert for like weeks/months, and there was a lot of stress, and then there was like a big eviction attempt. And I remember a friend, I won't say his name because he might want to be anonymous, I don't have his consent to plug him, but they ended up, once this kind of threat subsided, having this like big game of like capture the flag where they could just like all run around. And like it just relieved like so much kind of tension. And I think, you know, like if I've had a stressful morning, like if I get the chance to walk the dog on my own, for example, like it is very therapeutic. Like I will try and like, I mean, I'm not a fucking runner, like I hate running, but I will try and like do some sprinting to just like get out that kind of like activation in my body. So movement, you know, and that's like very natural for people in this state. Like that's what they want to do. Like they want to escape, if that makes sense. Grounding practices can also be useful, connecting with the land, you know, kind of spending time with someone else who feels safe. Like we never talk about the importance of like the collectiveness around accessing states of safety. Like if you're in fight or flight, like many people just need to fucking voice note a friend or have a friend come over, and that will help them like shift. Or, you know, even like listening to music, for example. So that's a little introduction to the flight state. And the herb that I've included in the Soothing Survival series, which is like a herb for each state, is actually motherwort. So motherwort is like part of the mint family. It's like one of my real kind of go-tos for this state. Like I include it a lot in my, I include it in my panic attack guide, which is like a free guide on my website for herbal support for panic attacks. But it has a very instantaneous kind of strong, relaxing action. You know, like it's not, I mean, it is a fantastic herb for longer term use, sort of, but it's not like our kind of hawthorns that are, you know, working slowly over time. It's like really this instantaneous kind of like relaxant action. And it's really fantastic for calming kind of heart palpitations. And I find when people are experiencing the flight response, like it's often very chest based, like very, yeah, anxiety in the chest, like worry, overwhelm, like, you know, fast heartbeat, like that kind of anxiety. And I think motherwort is like really strongly indicated for that kind of state. So say for example, in a panic attack blend, I'll often take just like 15 drops of tincture or the glycerite, like in that kind of acute moment of distress. And just a safety note, like motherwort isn't safe in pregnancy because of its like emmenagogue action, which means it kind of helps stimulate menstruation. And it's also a very kind of like cooling herb. And I think anything where there's like fight, flight, sympathetic activation, it's often accompanied by kind of heat. But yeah, motherwort is quite kind of like cooling. And you know, and it's a little bit drying, so it's not like ideal for everyone. If this like weird energetic stuff is like random and doesn't make sense, that it's something that I talk about in the herbalism PTSD and traumatic stress course, like what do these terms mean, for example. Yeah, the other thing with motherwort is that it's just really brilliant around people that have this kind of increased flight response when they're like premenstrual, for example. It's got a real affinity for people, you know, with like a uterus who are experiencing like premenstrual tension where there's like a lot of agitation and frustration and anger. It's a real amazing antispasmodic in period pains. So it's fantastic for people experiencing hot flushes. It's also useful for people experiencing like hyperthyroidism, like a overactive thyroid. And that's quite interesting because I feel like that as a health challenge often correlates to like a very activated flight response because of these manifestations of like faster heart rate, anxiety, like nervousness. So I think that's kind of interesting thing. It's also, motherwort is an amazing kind of like gentle bitter to help the digestive system. So bitters kind of communicate with our body to trigger a set of digestive enzymes that can help us digest our food properly. And motherwort is also really interesting because it's been shown to be like quite a good like antiviral. And I think it's very underestimated in that context. And I do, again, another random side note, but I recently was unwell and I was kind of experiencing like much more anxiety than normal. Like I think I'm a little bit prone to anxiety, but then when I meet people who are really suffering with anxiety, it makes me think like, fuck, like I don't have anxiety at all. Like I think I'm probably just like on a baseline worrying about things that are like practical and necessary, and I'm not having my life limited by, you know, like a lot of like intrusive thoughts and worry and panic, and certain situations definitely don't trigger that in me. You know, like I think a lot of my panic attacks and stuff are very, very prism focused. But yeah, anyway, so motherwort has also got this kind of sneaky antiviral property. And I think when people are dealing with a virus in their body, they're obviously in kind of like sympathetic mode as well, like as you're resisting this infection. And I think viruses have this tendency to also cause like intense anxiety and more of a like flight response in people. But that's just like my work in theory, and I'd love to hear other herbalists and people's experiences. Anyway, but that is the herb that I've recommended for this nervous system state. If you're interested in all of this malarkey, the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course is open for enrollment until Monday the 13th of October. And you can also access everything I've been banging on about in this Soothing Survival email series. So yeah, please check that out with the links in the show notes. And thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to the Frontline Herbalism podcast. You can find the transcript, the links, all the resources from the show at solidarityapothecary.org/podcast.